Please turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Last week we began this search, if you would, from the scriptures on the book of Acts in chapter 20, having to do with the whole counsel of God. Remember, Paul taught at Ephesus over 3 years, somewhere in that vicinity, and he taught them, he proclaims in Acts chapter 20, right in verse 27, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." Now, we spent some time looking at that whole counsel of God. Just exactly what did that mean? Well, we saw the whole counsel of God incorporated God's will, God's choice, God's determination, God's direction, if you would. And we looked at Peter's message, what was very, very similar. What he says, God's word has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we put several other passages to surround that just so we would see that the Word of God contains God's will, God's choice, and God's direction for us. His Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It requires the Word of God to direct our lives through the Spirit of God, obviously. So we spent some time with that. For example, we looked at marriage, money, maturity, maternity. And I ran out of M's after that. Immorality, holy living, sanctified living, Christ-likeness. He covers drugs and alcohol. God's word is all that we need to know about all that we need to know to live a life of godliness. The entire scriptures point to everything, either in point directly to that subject or in principle that would surround that subject with the word of God. So last week a question was asked, how do we find this whole counsel of God? I'm glad you asked. Once again, we want to look at that this morning. How do we find that whole counsel? We know that to live a life of a maturity, spiritual maturity, is by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. God's Spirit using His Word to direct us. We saw that last week again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We also saw that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He can know words on a page. He can memorize words on a page. But as far as those words directing his life, he does not have the equipment to do so, which is the Spirit of God. He does not have the receiver to know the spiritual truth of God's Word. So God's Word is what directs the path, a life of godliness, a spiritual life of functioning for the Lord. We want to look at, if we can, please, at a couple of passages in just a moment. But remember last week, we looked at the Old Testament. The scriptures themselves tell us that God has given us the Old Testament for our learning, for an example. This is who God is. This is how He works. These are His purposes as He worked through the nation of Israel, as He functioned through them, as he functioned in the creation of the world. We see how he blessed Israel. He cared for Israel. He loved Israel. He guided Israel, and sometimes He chastened Israel. Why? Because it was given for our pattern, to show us who He is and His purposes. And then looked at the New Testament passages, for example, in Paul's statement to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, thoroughly furnished, completely furnished for every good work that God has called them to. So the Old Testament and the New Testament combined are the completed Word of God for us, that we may know exactly what God would have us to do. So I want to make a statement. Don't want to be misunderstood. So listen very carefully. To have the Spirit of God alone is not enough to live a life of godliness. To have the Spirit of God alone is not enough to live a life of godliness. Well, what do I mean by that? You need to be a student of the Word of God so that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to direct you. Now, when you have the Spirit of God, you're going to heaven. There's no question about it. You're going to heaven. When you have the Spirit of God, you're sealed with the Spirit of promise, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When you trusted in Christ, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That equips you for heaven by being born again. But only the Word of God can direct you to live a life of godliness. Perhaps this is why we have so many Christian casualties. Yes, they're saved. They have trusted Christ as Savior. They're complete in Him. They're headed for heaven. Yes, that's true, and thank the Lord for that. But the reason they're a casualty in this world is because they're not equipped with the Word of God to know how to live, because they're not prepared for that. An Old Testament passage. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Now, during our evening service, and we do have one, it's our Sunday school service, but during our evening service, we're going through the Old Testament wonderfully in our gospel project, but we just finished Joshua, and what a great man of God he was. Can you think of a more important person in Old Testament Israel's history? The answer is no, you can't. He is equal to, according with all the other prophets of God. Joshua, God's mighty, mighty warrior, was used of God to do tremendous things. But listen very carefully. Joshua chapter 1, pick it up in verse 8, please. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Well, what's he saying to Joshua? Joshua, you just do what you want and I'll take care of you. You don't need to bother with the revealed truth written by God. You don't have to bother with that. Just do your best, see, and I'll guide you. No. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thy way be made prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. See, the Word of God, I believe Joshua was indwelt by the Spirit of God. You can do what you want with that. But Joshua was indwelt by the Spirit of God, at least had that presence of the Spirit of God upon him to understand the Word of God, that he could direct the nation Israel into what they were supposed to do. Well, it's always, always, folks, it's always based upon the Word of God. The Spirit of God using the Word of God in the life of a Christian. So what's the problem with people who don't read the Word of God? What's the big deal if I don't read the Bible? Well, listen to a couple passages, please. If you're not interested in the Scriptures, if you're not a student of the Word of God, that means you're not allowing the Word of God to dwell in you richly. That's one of them. Secondly, you're not building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Jude verse 20. You're getting entangled in this world's affairs. You can't endure hardship as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. When you're not letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you're like the sower in the seed parable. The seed is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus says when he gives this parable. And he says this, they that are of good ground are those who in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word of God, please understand this, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It's hearing the Word of God, the Spirit of God using the Word of God in your life to direct your path. That's what we're looking for. The Word of God to direct our path through the Spirit of God. And that brings forth what? Fruit, the Lord Jesus said. Much, much fruit. Now, what is fruit? Well, fruit is really unto the Lord. Everything we are to do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of the Lord, Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians. However, recognize that it's also for the body of Christ. It's for us. When you're walking with the Lord, when you're godly, when you're lifted up by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then you encourage me, and if likewise the same with you. Then I function properly in my local assembly. I use my spiritual gifts. I exercise myself unto godliness, and other people would be encouraged by that. Our election and redemption are very personal and private. Our election and redemption are very personal and private. However, our sanctification and spiritual growth And spiritual gifts are corporate. They're corporate. Would it use this among the body of Christ? May I use an analogy, please? Paul used it. His under the inspiration of the Spirit, my thoughts. But listen, please. We're locked in a war, are we not? If you don't think we're locked in a war with evil, you've already lost. You're finished. We're locked in a war, God says. Now, there's an air war, and there's a ground war. The air war, that's principalities and powers, the rules of darkness, and then it's God involved in the air war. The ground war, that's us. That's us. The ground war is you and I, by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, living a life here on earth. The attacks are going to come. We're here, boots on the ground, if you would. We're in the midst of turmoil, but we're not to be turmoiled. Is there a word like that? Is that okay? We're in a frothing life. If you don't think there is, you've been sleeping. Not only here, but other places as well. When you look around, you listen to it. There's not really any solid ground for us to stand on in this world. But there is here. It's forever settled in heaven. It's forever fixed in heaven. God's word is always there. So we're in the midst of a battle. We need one another desperately. We're fighting a battle, and that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's why Paul told Timothy, great is the mystery of what godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And also that mystery includes Christ in you, the hope of glory. That mystery includes the church functioning together that even angels can't comprehend. But it's all based upon your knowledge of the Word of God. We're in a battle together. And in that battle, folks, you're not going to join us as a Christian? Listen, you were drafted the moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You're part of the army, whether you like it or not. Now, you may be a deserter. You may not be a good soldier, and we're sorry about that. But we need you desperately. And we need you not to be weak. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God wants us functioning together as a body. And so how does that work? Well, a life of godliness and then spiritual life, spiritual living. So if we can, I'd like to look at this spiritual living together, please. It's very important. The scriptures point out to us spiritual life. Spiritual life is based upon the Spirit of God using the Word of God in my life, and that translates into a life of godliness here on earth. It translates into the body of Christ functioning together. So let's turn to a couple of passages I'd like us to look at together. Turn with me to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16. Now, you're very familiar with this passage. We only have a few minutes together, but in John chapter 16, look with me, please, at verse John 16. Let's look, please, all the way down to verse 7. Now, you could compare with John chapter 14 when the Lord Jesus said that he's leaving, he's going away. And he says he's going to leave the comforter for the saints. And we pick it up in John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter won't come. Can I put it very simply, because that's my best forte here, simply. Each part of the Godhead has their position and their job. Now, they're all integrated. They're amalgamated. But they each had a position or a job, if you would. The Son willingly came to earth to give his life for the sins of the whole world. The Son, however, functioned in the Old Testament. The Father is in the Son and the Father and the Spirit of God in all. But as you recognize the functioning, the Lord Jesus said, I have, if I can put it this way, please, done my job. I need to now leave. Now, this becomes confusing when you realize that when the Spirit of God is in you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and that's Christ in you. You have the Lord Jesus Christ in you. But he says here, I'm going to leave the scene. Why? Because I have a final task to finish, and that was Calvary. And we read verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," we know him to be the Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come," the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, "he," when the Holy Spirit has come, the person of the Holy Spirit, "will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me," exposing sin unto the world. Now, the world does not like to hear that. Just go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and you can read that. Men love darkness rather than light. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the crunch. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall be hated above all men for my name's sake." Call yourself a Christian today and see where that gets you. You know where it gets you? On the bottom of the pile. But that's men's pile. That's the dung heap. It's right on the top of God's praise and honor and glory to be in Christ and to be a member of the body of Christ. But as far as the world is concerned, we are looked at worse and worse every single day. By media particularly, and then that filters down to the sheeple, and they just simply listen. What's interesting is God tells us he'll reprove the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on me. See, it's about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of righteousness because I am gone unto my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You see, the whole world lies, the scriptures tell us in 1 John, in the hands of the wicked one. He's the prince of this world. So there's this war going on, a physical war in the air, the demons and elect angels, and then there is the war that goes on in the ground pertaining to Satan using the means of this world to confuse the Christian church, if you would, to confuse Christians. I do not need to remind you in 1 Peter, where Peter tells us, we have an adversary, an enemy, a deadly enemy called the devil. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I received my newest Outdoor Life magazine. I just love the thing. And I was reading a story in it last night that made me cringe. A hunter was out in Colorado, or in the West anyway, and he was attacked by a grizzly bear, and it shredded him. He actually has pictures of himself. What was wrong with that guy? His pictures of himself shredded. And he survived the attack, and he got up, and he was walking back to his vehicle, and it attacked him again. It attacked him again and shredded him even more. Keep that analogy now. That's what Satan is. He wants to shred you. Only he's not going to shred you with claws or teeth. He's going to shred you with gossip. He's going to shred you with filth from your computers and televisions. He's going to shred you with misinformation by a fallen media. He's going to shred you with your own evil thoughts at times. This is the battle that we're in. It's serious, folks. It's not a Sunday morning only thing. It's the truth. It's when we leave here. We need the Word of God through the Spirit of God to equip us. And what's he going to point to? Oh, you're living a good life. You can hardly wait for vacation. Is that what the Spirit of God is going to say to you? Or is he going to tell you to go somewhere and hum a lot, light a few candles, that will help the atmosphere? What's he going to do? No, he's going to point to the Savior. Look, continue on in verse 1. The Lord Jesus, in verse 12, I'm sorry, John 16, 12, he says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, when he," the Spirit of God, "the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but for whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you." What is that? It's the truth of the Word of God being manifest by the Spirit of God in your life to live a life of godliness. None of this is emotional. It can foster emotions, But it's not emotional, it's factual. Emotionalism will steer you in the wrong direction unless it's completely based upon the Word of God. There are some very, very honest, sincere Christians that have allowed their emotions to direct them in some kind, looking for some kind of extra biblical revelation / illumination. I'm going to mention it just because it's absolutely true. Even a man like John Piper, he wrote tremendous books. A man of God, caught up with his emotionalism. He's been seen on many occasions and heard on many occasions asking God to allow him to speak in tongues as a sign. Wait a minute, John. The scriptures say plainly, tongues are not for a sign to those who believe, but as a sign to those that believe not. And if you look at the context of that whole section, it was for the nation of Israel. When I come upon you in judgment with men from other languages that you understand not. And God used that to even produce the gospel among the Gentile nations. But tongues have ceased in our time period. But even a great man like that, caught up in emotional work, can that happen to you? Can it happen to me? Of course it can. Of course it can. And we need to be very, very careful. God wants us not to listen for a voice, but to read his word and allow the Spirit of God. If people looking for a voice, I'm looking for that still small voice. Again, I repeat to you, you ready? Read the Bible. That's the voice. That's what God wants you to know. Read the scriptures. And so as we're looking at this section of reading the scriptures, how can we do that? What does God want from us pertaining to reading the scriptures? Well, let's look at a couple passages together. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. You're very familiar with this. Pastor Rob went through this, did an excellent job in the book of Galatians. But in Galatians chapter 5, this was written for our learning, that we might know, that we might understand. In Galatians chapter 5, that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, using the Word of God in our lives, will give us the scriptural and spiritual strength that we need to function in this present world. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ, not because I'm great, I'm not. Not because I'm perfect, I'm not. It's because Christ in me, the hope of glory. So God says, okay, now you're born again, you're saved. God doesn't say this, I'm saying it, but you're born again, you're saved, but that's not enough. You're not equipped yet, you see. You're complete in Christ, that's for sure, but you need the Word of God to give you the roadmap to walk. If heaven was all, if that's it, I'm going to heaven, God would kill you the minute you believed. If this was it, God would take you out the second you trusted Christ as Savior. No, he left you here to be what? A testimony. To think up illustrious thoughts? No, to look into his word. We're in Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians 5, look at verse 16. This is one of my favorite passages in all the scriptures, but let me read it to you, please. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk. That's a continual action. Walk, keep on walking in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? Well, as I read the Word of God and I'm trusting God's Word through his Spirit, that Word of God will cleanse me, help me to recognize, no, that's the wrong thing. This is the right thing. In my particular life, I don't know how it works with you, but you have to decide what you're going to do. I have to make sure, Lord, will this lead me in the wrong direction? Not is it wrong? It may be okay, but should I do it? Because it could suck me down the hill that way. See, watch the little thing on the Weather Channel about ice and how people in the north, particularly up in Canada, and these highways that run up in Canada, how when ice forms on the road, there's nothing they can do. They can have the brakes on and slide down the hill, down into destruction. What was their first problem? They got on the ice. See, Lord, just help me to stay off the ice. See, I don't want to slip down that road to destruction. So it could be a good thing. It might be all right, but it's not for me, you see. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How does that happen? It's the Spirit of God using the Word of God. How about strength? I've lived long enough to have departing strength. I used to think I was strong, and in fact, back in the day I was, but no more. I can barely hold my breath, never mind weights. You know. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians, chapter 3. Look at verse 16, please. Passage well known unto you. Paul, of course, praying for the church at Ephesus. He had taught there 3.5 years. He starts hearing some disturbing things, and a couple of generations later, they're gone, if you read in the book of the Revelation, when it's a spiritual adultery. But we're in Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What's that? That's him and his purposes. That's the Spirit of God indwelling you. That's the Word of God given to you. That's him. That's all. It's who he is and his purposes. That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, we're locked in a battle, and we need spiritual strength, not physical strength. Guns aren't going to help you with this. Bullets and bombs aren't going to help you with this. We're not locked in a battle with a madman, demonic as he is, there in North Korea. We're locked in a battle with the Prince of Darkness himself. And we can't fight that war with bullets or bombs, nuclear weapons or tweets. We can only fight this battle by being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's the only way this battle can be won. And our body, this church, is locked into a battle. My wife and I talked about this morning because she was reading a book about what went on during the Second World War. But remember, during that time period, I believe it was that time period, if I'm not right, you can correct me, and will probably. But during that time period is when it said all it takes for evil to propagate is for good men to do nothing. That's all it takes. If you're part of this church, if you attend here, you're part of this church. We need you as much as you need teaching from this pulpit to function as a body. We're locked in a battle, and you're going to stay home? We need you in the midst of the fight. We need people to fight the good fight of faith. We need people that are willing to stand up, step up to serve the Lord. Why? Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about us, the Spirit of God using the Word of God. How can I have spiritual strength? By his Spirit in the inner man, you see? It's not me. There's people around here do all kinds of things, and one day those people are going to be dead. We need other people to stand up. We need other people to step up. For what? To carry the work of the ministry. Just because one of us dies doesn't mean this work is not going to continue. If it does, it was based upon someone else, not upon the Lord. So we fight how? With strength in the inner man. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. 5:18. You know this passage again very well. Be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. God wants us to be equipped by the Spirit of God, not with debauchery, not with this world system. Now here the word wine has to do. Don't tarry long at the wine. I mean, there's all kinds of scripture passages on that. But don't let anything else control your life but the Spirit of God, is what he's saying. It's just that simple. Anything else that controls your life will bring you down into debauchery, will bring you down into sinfulness. But if the Spirit of God is controlling your life, you'll be lifted up in godliness. That's what we're talking about, a life of godliness, piety, spiritual living, Christ-likeness. Not that because I do this or I act this way that I'm godly. That's not it. That can be phony. But we're talking about the Spirit of God working so much in my heart that this is what I do. This is what I do. Why? Because I believe his word and want to follow him. There's many things we can do and don't do. There's many things we could do. The world does that. It's okay, but don't do. Why? Because that's what the world does. That will only lead me astray. And I don't want to do that. I want to be careful. Head with me, please, to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Another passage you're very, very familiar with. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. The Word of God is what we need. Hide in God's Word in our heart. It's a reservoir of truth. It's there. It's prepared. And when you run into a situation, the Spirit of God will just supernaturally use that in your life to tell you, no, this isn't right. I don't know exactly what it is, but it just doesn't smell right, if you would, spiritually speaking. It doesn't sound right. Or this could take me in a different direction. Therefore, I stay away from it. Why? Because the Spirit of God doesn't want me to be involved with that stuff. There's something else. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 5, if you would, of Romans chapter 8. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now you've heard it, I've heard it. People not interested in attending church, not interested in the Scriptures, and you talk to them and they say, I'm all right. No, you're not. No, you're not. You might have talked yourself into that, but you're not. And you know it, and I know it, and most positively God knows it. I'm just doing things my own way. Then they're the wrong way. It's the wrong way. Unless it's God's way, it's the wrong way. There's no middle ground. This isn't, you know, some kind of darkness fading into light. This is darkness getting deeper the minute you think that. God's word is very plain. The Spirit of God wants to use the word of God. Anything else than the Spirit of God directing your mind is carnality, fleshly, if you would. So we want to be filled with the word of God. It's just that simple. How do you do that? You say, well, I don't have time. May I come to your house? You don't have to give me anything to eat. If you want to, that would be fine. But may I come to your house and follow you during the day someday and find out if you're so busy, you don't have time for God's word. May I do that? No. And I don't want you at my house either. Why? Because we waste a lot of time on that which is not profitable at all. I'm not saying, you know, you don't have to do the dishes and the laundry and the bed. And, you know, we understand all that. You have to groom yourself. You have to clean yourself up. We understand all that. You have to go to work. We understand all that. But what about the moments of time that you have that you just indulge in your flesh instead of indulging in the Spirit? All of us have time to read God's word. All of us do. And if we don't, we slip that much further, if you would, away from the things of the Lord. And that's when the pull begins. See, Satan would have that. He'd use that. Okay, head with me to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 16. Recognize this in Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When I'm reading God's word, it's just a blessing. It rejoices my heart. I got to admit, sometimes I read this and, oh, man, I wish I hadn't read that. Why? Because our minds sometimes are captivated by the things of this world. They all are. I'm intrigued with these tornadoes and these storms that are going on. I'm just fascinated by them. But when it's all said and done, what about the God who created the whole business? He's more important than that. I'll just look at the stars. Well, why don't you look at the one who created them? He's more important than those are. Matter of fact, he tells us one day he's going to wipe those all out. How important are they? How important are they really? Well, God lets us know that the Spirit of God will use that word of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. That's the assurance. You'll often find a Christian that is not grounded in the word of God will question their salvation. Why? Because Satan wants to do that. If he can keep you shook up, if he can keep you shaken, questioning, you will not be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ because you always wonder. But God's word will assure you of that. There's many, 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 many passages on assurance of salvation. How about spiritual strength and spiritual health? Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy, and we're out of time, but 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Spirit of God using the Word of God in the life of a believer. We're equipped to know this. We have all things given to us freely. We're equipped. We can handle this. We can understand this. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I know one day he's going to return to earth. I recognize all that. So what do I do in the meantime? Wait around? Look up? No, he said, get busy for me. Serve me. I've given you spiritual gifts. I've given you spiritual discernment. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you my word and my roadmap, and you're lost. Whose fault is that? It's our fault. It's our fault. Listen, I'm talking to myself as much as any of you. Please understand that. I'm speaking to myself as well. Okay, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 3 for a moment, please. Well, let's back up to verse 1, and I'll close here. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Essentially, put on Christ. be strong in his grace. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What was Paul telling Timothy? The word of God. God's word, God's direction, God's instruction. None of Paul's personal opinion is printed for us. This is everything God wanted us to know through Paul. This isn't something he kind of dreamt up. This is something God told him to pen on paper. God so supernaturally used the writing of scriptures that he guided these men to write his exact thoughts on paper. And they're right here. I'd like to know what God's thinking. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Okay, let's go on, please, if we could. Thou therefore, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. I'll stop right there. How does this happen? How can I fight the good fight of faith? It's only in his power. You're growing older, and you're growing weaker. You were born to die. You were born to die. But in the process of birth and death came the new birth, and now you're born again to live for him, to live for him. He gave his life for us. We are to give our lives to him in service. Very few people are called on to be martyrs. Very few. All of us are called on to be living martyrs. Present your body, therefore, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can that happen? It's only through the word of God. It's the only way. Remember in Zechariah, God commissioned Zechariah to rebuild the temple, and it got all in Zerubbabel's temple, and it got all kinds of mixed up, if you would. The government was against them rebuilding a temple. The people were against rebuilding a temple. Satanic forces against them rebuilding the temple. What happened? What happened? Zechariah wrote this. You're going to rebuild this temple, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to give you the spiritual strength to do it. That's why we're commissioned and commanded by God to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's pray together. Father, help us to recognize that as the body of Christ, as this church, the Cornerstone Church, this local church here in Warwick, Rhode Island, though we are but a dot on a map, we are nonetheless seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are part of the family of the living God. We're your children. We're your beloved. And Father, we belong to you. We pray, Father, for spiritual strength. We can get no more of the Holy Spirit than we have, but we can become better equipped to allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives by knowing more of your word. So Father, help us. Help us to have that spiritual strength needed. Help us to commit 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour, an hour a day. Whatever time that you allow us, Lord, help us to commit it to you, to the reading of the Word of God, that the Word of God would dwell in us richly, that it would go deep and it would satisfy the nourishment of the soul, that I might live a life of godliness and Christ-likeness before you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. We thank you our pastor is able to be with us. We pray as we go downstairs and fellowship following this meeting that it would be sweet fellowship, encouraging fellowship, that the Red Sox aren't going to matter, the Patriots aren't going to matter in eternity. All that matters is my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me to encourage them. Help me to lift them up. Help us, Father, as a body, to fight the good fight of faith together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.